All right. Hi, everyone. It's a full house today. Does everyone know everyone?
Let's go with a new addition.
Luke is a new addition. So why don't you introduce yourself to the group and then we will introduce ourselves to you as appropriate.
Okay, FBA school. I'm on the environmental exec board, and I want to make Baxley High School a more sustainable and environmentally friendly place.
And Luke also happens to be the younger sibling of Alina. Oh, excuse me, Madison.
Oh, I'm Joanne Grossman, a member of our team.
Well, and
Oh, and we helped to start this place. We helped to start back this organization, and we're very, very proud. We're very proud that we helped to start it. Yes, that's about it.
well, the other thing that Luke might want to know is that you, the
We are
Grossmans,
the place, king and queen. Every here we are. Here and at our temple, we made sure that people do food waste. We
there's
talked about
something
this earlier.
very, there's something very sage though in what the Grossmans have decided to do here. Rather than trying to boil the ocean or commit, as I find I even at the middle age of 50, almost 54, still do, of committing to way too many things and doing a half-assed job at all of them, the Grossmans have very smartly said they want to be responsible for just one thing, and that is addressing food waste. And
Right.
I think that there's something to be learned there. I think that's how people can tend to be successful if they're realistic about the resources that are going to make something happen. So I learn from the Grossmans every day.
Thank you.
My name is Matthew. I do litter pickups and I work for Food Rescue, and I can recycle about two dozen things that Rumpke cannot. So I go around doing 32 farmers markets this year, doing an education and outreach just to teach correct practices.
I'm Reese. I am a graphic designer and design researcher professionally, and I work on some research-related projects with ESAC. One of them, which is going on right now, about to launch, is a refillable coffee cup pilot happening at a small cafe in Chambers Music Studio.
I think after we do introductions, we should find time for you to just explain that whole
Sure.
pilot to the people here. I think that's it. They'll be interested.
Yep.
Steve Grossman, doing everything with my wife, Joanne, but I'm doing other stuff too, which I find myself too busy. Sorry.
See, there you go. It's only Joanne who's
Sorry.
wise about her time.
Yes.
I'm Lisa Goldsands. I am the chair of Green Bexley, and I also spent 30 years making things that ended up getting landfilled, or at least 73% of them. And now I have a sustainable fashion startup focused on scaling the reuse of fashion and accessories at a hyperlocal level.
I'm Elizabeth, and I work for the city doing sustainable. You know, good Mike.
And Mike, introduce yourself, sir.
Yes. Okay. I am Mike Warner. I am a teacher at St. Charles Preparatory School and also work with them on our environmental sustainability.
So, what I'd like to do, we have everybody here, which is super exciting. What I'd like to do is have Elizabeth do her update. And then I would love to see if people who are interested want to give any kind of subcommittee or stakeholder updates. There is no obligation to speak or share. I think the Grossmans want to share about something. I would love for Reese to share about the pilot that he mentioned. I would like to share actually about one or two things that I have been working on, tangentially related to the city. And if there is time, then we would like to go back to, and you guys are sitting close, which is good. Go back to it's still Mural, not Miro, but mural that I shared the last meeting where we were reapproaching what this committee with Ella and Luke and Reese and others views as a priority and most deserving of whatever limited bandwidth we have for 2025 and 26. So we'll just see how much time we have for that. But if you don't have something critical to share, that's okay. That will give us a few extra minutes to focus on that conversation.
Great.
All right.
I have a few things to share. The first is that the Ohio EPA has a grant program that is actually coming to a close fairly quickly. So the mayor and Megan and I are going to be meeting tomorrow, hopefully, to see if we will be thinking about applying for anything. There are a few thoughts that have been in the works for some time. One of them is basically a trailer. I refer to it as a cow, but a trailer with like kegs on it and taps that we would bring to city events and like ask people to bring us a water bottle and maybe fill it from that. There's also an idea about another trailer, basically with a cupboard on it and thrifted cutlery and plates and cups. And we could bring that to events and make sure that all the food trucks were fully working at food trucks using that instead of sort of disposables and also maybe putting a commercial dishwasher on it. So we're going to see if that pans out for this year. And those are not really.
Is that something like wash the dishes?
Yeah.
Your
But
own version of it?
yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll see if we are have enough information to be able to get that grant together.
Elizabeth, is we wash the dishes an option for future events too, or instead, or if we don't get that? Do you want to tell Luke what we wash the dishes is,
Sure.
somebody?
And basically, they bring us that plates, and they made up for me. We bring them and edited the mayor for like hot dog or like with a and stuff. And then they took them back and showed them their place, and we $350 fine.
Did we ever find out what their shrinkage was?
It wasn't a lot.
The other thing I want to say to you, Luke, and Ella, I don't know if we've talked about this before either, is one of the things that Reese and I talk about a lot is where you're driving systems change to actually eradicate the need for or production of crap that ends up in a landfill or that has to be disposed of somehow, waste, right? And the versus just finding trying to get people to be more responsible, but you don't address the fact that the waste is still being generated, right? So the we wash the dishes solution is, I think, one of the things that is exciting to Reese and to me, because that's, you could put that in the systems change, really thinking upstream about how to get people to behave differently, people and businesses to behave differently, maybe even a way that is has a positive ROI, right? Because all these businesses then don't need to bring disposable cutlery that they've paid for. So we are trying to think as we go through this year and the next year about what are things that are system change that actually can have a much bigger long-term impact versus things that are just helping us, move recycling compliance from 19% to 22%, which is still kind of pathetic. Does that make sense?
So.
What is it? Recycling, plastic recycling compliant in
Oh,
the, I
well,
think it's like load.
compliance versus, but there's, I mean, most homes. What do you mean by
Just
compliance?
in Bexley.
Of all the things that get produced that could be re
Oh,
plastic that
okay.
could be recycled, what actually ends up being placed by a consumer into a recycling receptacle? I know that once it's offered to Rumpke, the
Nationwide,
retention is
it's
super
like
high.
34.
For plastic? Oh, that's great. I thought it was lower than that. Anyway, it's not 100%. It would be great if we didn't. Hey, hello.
Okay, you guys started over. It's nice to see you. I did start.
Okay, real quick though, Natalie and Mel, introduce yourselves to Lou.
Single. Natalie, I'm the secretary.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You're not thinking that the schools could use real silverware and watch everything, are you?
I didn't say that, but it's certainly something that it would be fun to talk about.
It should be.
Why would I was at lunch today, and they serve their food on real plates. I didn't pay attention to the silverware, but they have real plates. We have had discussions with them in the past, and there was some thought that, like, I guess the dishwasher, it doesn't have been in the past year, is not reliable enough to expand. Usages.
What was used when we were young?
We went home from lunch.
They used to be on the trays, though.
Utensils. Yeah, but I mean for utensils.
Oh.
No, back when, of course, I'll be one of them.
They do use disposable. I'm not sure about the trade situation. I know that there's definitely some paper trays. I think there might also be, there's also paper trays that they, but I'm not quite clear on what the nuance is.
You're hardly at Bexley
yeah.
at the moment, right? That's right. I forgot that.
Do you know?
Well, I don't either the school
library. Yeah. I wanted to highlight the Ego Challenge team that participated in October. We all had almost 4,000 points, and you can see here there were some pretty cool numbers. The team ranked in the top 20% of like 175 teams. So I'm proud of that.
That's one thing that needs to go on your graph. Get more involvement in that, because I believe there's only two people in this group that participated.
In the Eco Challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Were you following the socials?
No. Did we talk about it at the meeting?
It was in one meeting at some
point. Yeah. Because I could have also sent out something. Yeah.
I'm adding it right now to the mural.
All right. In the schools this month, with seventh and fourth grade, I'm working on food. And with the first grade, we're doing just like how to get rid of stuff. So recycling, compost, and landfill. We have engaged with a firm to do kind of some a la carte work for us in the sustainability action plan. So I was told that the writing is going to be done in-house, but might get some help putting the graphics and layouts and things like that. So the firm is a certified B Corporation, and it is also the same planning firm that is working on the Central Ohio Climate Action Plan. So I think that will be nice that there's some familiarity with what's happening.
That's great.
Locally.
And that's coming from the city's budget?
Yes. Okay, so yard time recycling is finished, but we will begin light recycling December 2nd, and then after that will be styrofoam recycling.
I saw your videos. How many did you get? Question signs.
It was too many to fit in a bin. We've got on Friday, I have a meeting with Susan Quintens and Mike. Susan is chair of the tree commission to discuss what Urban Arbor Day celebrations may look like for next year and if there will be any changes to what we have done previously. There's a repair cafe on Sunday.
What is that?
A repair cafe. So we're going to have volunteers who are able to fix things. And people who are in need of things being fixed.
I think I'm going to be here. I was going to be out of the country. I'm very excited. I have many things to bring.
Make sure to sign up.
Is that here?
Yes, City Hall. So there's a link in the blast and in social media to sign up for it. It was now in the slots, and we'll be able to take walk-ins as time allows. If you have any sort of means to promote this, by all means, you're welcome to share it. And the prefecture has already put up.
We know that the weather is going to be crappy on Thursday. It may seem too far away, really. Are the bike guys going to be outside?
Yeah.
Is there any chance you would be willing to text me what I need to put on social and I will take the time to really focus on it?
Can I email you?
Yeah.
There was also some information yesterday on the Bexley Buzz about recycling. I guess that from he had a webinar with Swago and somebody's cousin's husband's uncle, brother, sister-in-law's dog attended the webinar, and
I did.
And they posted notes. There were some things that I saw in those notes that were surprising to me, because Rumpy generally does a really good job of promoting when they have some new and exciting thing, and there were some things that were on the list they promoted that would be exciting. So, full transparency, I have emailed Rumpy to ask for clarification on those things just to make sure that is actually happening. I haven't done anything from the thread. I haven't written back. There is somebody who I said, like, if you want to, say, hey, you can go back to the website for like accurate information. And they did that. So,
referring to grease and pizza boxes?
Not so much that, as opposed to the black boxes.
Plastic, like,
flange. Apparently, it was said on the webinar that he is taking them. I'm waiting to hear again.
I manually went to my Instagram page and deleted all the efforts. I was surprised too.
Yeah. So I have a patient. But if such things happen in the city, one patient, and you can see it, feel free to always go back to the green back to the website. So I spent some time yesterday and enrolled in that and making sure that our people who stuck to the patients there. That is just something that you are more than welcome to do if you'd like. And the other thing I had was that there's a special, well, I think this meeting is today at City Council. I hope to the Thanksgiving or because they're working on the budget. There's a possibility that they will also have a meeting at our next ESAC meeting. And that's an interesting to keep in mind in the event that we maybe want to reschedule or want to find out what their plans are.
Sure. Yeah. Can I ask a question? This was a question posed by the mayor a number of months ago. If the meeting were moved to late afternoon, like after school ends, during the work week, would that ever be feasible for people?
I would ever. I'm making.
Last time you said like 4:30.
That was what the mayor had just asked about. He just was, he wants to join and he's not able to join at this time just because he has a million things that happen. So just checking. It doesn't sound like it's something that people could.
We could do it. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I know Rachel was struggling. You would have things after school, right?
Well, not the whole year.
What sports do you? What
soccer?
Okay. So realistically speaking, it's not feasible for you either. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I think we've. Okay. I think we've asked and answered enough people. It's just not feasible. So I think we're going to, I think we'll, I don't think I ever went back to Ben to say that we had thoroughly. Okay. So as to another day, do people have a strong feeling about that? If we wanted to accommodate the city council meeting.
So are you talking about just for December?
Oh, was it just for December? Oh
yeah.
Okay, sorry.
And the reason I specifically...
I misunderstood. I thought it was recurring.
It's because of the budget. They might need an extra meeting. Budget. But I say that because Alex Silverman has planned to join us in some time.
Right.
So
he's our perfect.
I think if it's only December, let's just keep the meeting. But here's the question. When is the December meeting? Is anybody going to be able to join it?
When is it's it? During break. Is the 17th.
We'll be here.
You guys may have finals.
Okay. It is the birthday.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Wait, what day?
It is Tuesday.
Let's just keep it on Tuesday. We probably won't have, who knows what these guys will do with finals, but people won't be off on winter break yet. Okay. Are you cool with that? That we just,
yeah.
Yeah. And then it'll be great if in 25 he can be a part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just have one other thing. They are, I don't know if I've explained it, but they, as part of the budget, we proposed a home weatherization program. We would not really get any weather, but it would be for a select number of homes, maybe 20, to have somebody come in with, you know, like, hey, you can get a heat, you can get a heat pump. And then they'll get a list of recommendations and maybe even also a list of like rebates that are available with the intent that it's first on home improvement, so it'll reduce energy use.
That's a great idea.
So there are programs like that. For homes that are at 80% or less of the AM, which stands for average something income, and probably, yes. And
why would it be average then?
I mean, maybe they're whatever. So more programs are going to be lower. And there are some other programs coming online. The element that is not yet okay. So this, see. Utilities used to do that. They did. These audits are like $900. Yes, the utilities used to do it like $50. Okay. 80 on the capital. Mm-hmm. And that is our work. Oh, sorry, one more thing. I am working on creating a food council as part of a Race to Zero commitments. So Megan and I are thinking about how that would work. We will be open to folks in this room as well as other community members. Just
say more. What's a food council?
Great. So the city has these Race to Zero. Of which starting a food council is one of them. And other than starting a food council, they don't give you a whole bunch of information. So it basically just says that we're going to start a food council. And also in the next week. So I have a meeting later this week with somebody who's part of the Columbus Food Council. I have proposed like a list of like five potential topics or action items we worked on, depending on the interest of the group. My ideal with that, it would help shift businesses and restaurants and schools and city events towards a more plant-based diet. But what it would more likely do is address food insecurity and preventing food waste through rescue innovation.
Got it. Got it. It sounds interesting.
So, yeah.
Okay.
What's going on with HHW?
I haven't heard anything yet. Recently. Household health and hazardous waste.
Oh,
about the collection.
Yeah. On the household hazardous waste question, because when we do talk about, you know, 2025 and 26 thoughts, further to the conversation we had last month, I am interested in thinking about like two times a year, Repair Cafe and a bunch of other things. Regarding HHW, is twice a year too infrequent? Like would people hold on to things or not practical?
Want to try something where it's done very regularly. They're thinking that it's every week.
But there may not be city infrastructure to support
be.
That.
So, I Yes, yeah, so we that's kind of the we just can get grants, but it's a expensive financial endeavor once.
But with what would be the cost of doing it weekly?
They would cover that as part of their contract. I think they're interested in seeing it would be a pilot for them.
I see. But they would. Got it.
Where okay. do they take the habit? Where do they?
They have a contract for somebody called the MBA that I'm not super familiar with.
Okay.
What do you?
What they?
Gasoline, fertilizer,
paint, right? He said gasoline, fertilizer, paint.
Yeah. This kind of stuff.
So, like anything that people would want
to, right? But they do not paint. Meals and things like that, but you don't have people trained to do it. So if we were to host one event, then we would need to have the training in to do that. But if we were to host it weekly, then we would have to have either volunteers or staff trained to do this.
Yeah.
You probably thought that Waco waived the fee for latex paint. Be a dollar, now it's free.
I don't think that, realistically speaking, I don't know that we could scare up a volunteer to do that weekly. Maybe in the future if we get a little bit bigger.
Is there in the department
saying Yeah. I think you could get volunteers to be trained. I just think knowing, you know, that food waste the waste management is a challenge. I just don't know how we would get that every, you know, year round. Unless this probably wouldn't work. I was going to say, unless it became some consistent, can you be a minor? Probably not. Right. Okay. I was thinking it could be an interesting service hours thing, but okay.
Yeah. I would caution that probably waste disposal is not very popular, I
it sounds like a Marvel origin story, doesn't it? All right. Okay. If we could, just to make sure we have enough time, could we hear from Reese and then from the Grossmans about what they've been working on?
Sure. We have a partnership with Central Ohio Reuse Coalition to test a reusable to-go coffee cup at a local coffee shop. They have grant money from another organization that they've said they want to use and they want to help us do this. So we reached out to Swonderful Times Cafe, which is a small cafe in Chambers Music Studio. It's kind of a interesting situation in the fact that they're not typically open in the morning when most coffee shops are, but all of their clients are parents who go to Chambers Music Studio. So they have a little bit
of a closed ecosystem. It's a
closed ecosystem in a sense, and lots of repeat customers. And it's a very small, yes.
It's
I think so.
I don't know if legally speaking it is its own thing, but it is in the music studio, and it's like you come in for your kid's music studio and the cafe is right there. So I think it kind of operates as one. We haven't launched yet, but we are very close. We have a set launch date. I think it's January 13th. We're starting to promote the program to the clientele of the music studio. We really want to get the parents and the clients who frequent the music studio to get involved and to participate. Long story short, if you come in for a coffee or a tea or another beverage and you want to take it to go, instead of using a disposable, you know, plastic or paper cup, you can opt into this program. You fork over a $10 deposit that is refundable. And that kind of allows you access to this program. And basically every time you come in and you get a beverage, you check out a cup like you would check out a book from the library. So you take it with you, you return it on your next visit. This is why the repeat customer aspect is pretty important. So it's a way to, one, help the cafe reduce the amount of disposable, single-use disposable cups they are giving away to patrons. But then it's also a way for us to kind of build this community of reuse within our community, this culture of reuse. So we've been working to get that established. We have partnered with a company that provides the cups, and then they provide an app for the customers to use to kind of track the cup that they have out. So they are supporting it as well. So we're very excited about it. I think it will be a good thing.
Now, you know what I love about it? You know, I do believe everything is piece by piece by piece. You're starting small, slowly it might grow.
Well, that's the thing. We are framing it as a pilot. And if we fail, so what? But we're approaching it with an experimental mindset, and we're hoping to learn from it. And the goal is to document what we learn, and then we can go to a Kitty's, or we can go to Cherbourg, or whoever else, the smaller shops. I think going to Starbucks is maybe a bigger ask later on down the road, but we're starting small and trying to build. And then, you know, the idea is that it's not just beverage containers. It could be takeout food containers as well, because there are companies out there that have durable takeout food containers too.
Ohio State's using one of them. Mel, is Starbucks still doing their reusable public cup or what?
Yeah, it really just kind of depends on the person. I feel like going to Starbucks. The people that do it, like, I could name their names, right? They come all the time. They bring their cups. Like, it's usually the regular customers that know that they're just going to have their cup. They have their cup on them. They know what time they're going to come. Every Tuesday that I work, there's this one specific woman that comes with the same cup every single time. She gets the same drink. It's a regular thing for her, and it's a regular thing for some people that...
But she gets in line.
Yeah, she gets in line. Yeah. I have never, ever seen anybody use the app for a reusable cup. I know that it's an option,
this is the one thing that I'm terrible about. Mm-hmm. I often take my own cup to Starbucks or anywhere else. If I am in a rush, I don't, right? But my husband ordered for me at one point, and it was ready there. It so happened I didn't have the cup, but I just thought it was interesting that they had it like in their aluminum or whatever stainless steel receptacle ready to pour into my cup.
Yeah. So at my location, it's smaller. So I've mentioned this before that we have it. We have like, it's not stainless steel, but we have like a thick glass one that we use.
Yeah, and then it pours into the person's personal cup. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
So I know it's an option.
Yeah.
But it's not maybe it's an option.
Do they have any signage? Are they promoting it?
Not at my location.
We did it like by mistake, but I thought it was cool that it was an option. Okay.
Reese, is there any information about like at what point the cup race even like having many uses?
Yeah, it is quite high. It's like 50 to 100 uses. But if you break that down to a repeat customer who's going in once a week,
that's
a year.
Right.
So yeah, it is a long game. But in the year's time, how many cups are you throwing away? And there are lots of variables. But I think my interest is the big picture of generating this interest and like promoting the cultural aspect of it.
Will that information
all this stuff was used, you know. Yeah, there's a dashboard that the cafe owner will have access to that has all that.
And the cup basically has a digital passport, right?
Yeah, it has like a QR code on it that is scanned when the person takes the cup. Yes, it's a thing for the customer to use to check out the cup, basically saying this cup is with this customer. Yes, to participate as a customer, you have to use the app.
I will say we looked at, there are three companies that do this thing, and the one that Reese ended up selecting, it's Okapi, right? Yeah, was the least burdensome of the choices. Some of them required that the business have a separate, what's it called, like a
The scan, like a scanner to check
yeah,
out.
or a separate phone, or a, yeah.
Yeah, they had to have a separate thing. They had to have a phone or separate scanner in addition to the one for their current
POS or
POS
whatever,
system. So I think the one that we went with is
yeah. Did you say O copy?
it's Okapi Reusables. Okapi,
Like the animal,
A-P-I, like
yeah.
the animal dash reusable stuff. They're primarily on the West Coast, but start to pop up a bit here.
So, and again, like that, if that were something that were piloted and then that we could get adopted throughout, Bexley businesses, that systems change. Like that has a, significant upstream impact if it's successful.
One more thing to add that I just remembered. CORC, the Central Ohio Reuse Coalition, is doing another one in the city of Columbus. With also with Okapi. So the idea is that we have this network of shops that are using Okapi. And if you go to the Okapi here or go to the shop here in Bexley on your morning drive and you get your coffee, you can go return it at the other place. They got some press for that one in Channel 4. NBC did a story on it. So we're starting to get a little bit of press and a little bit of coverage. So we'll see.
I think what I'm hearing from you is that we're not promoting this state right now because we want to keep it
Correct.
confidential.
Correct. We want to keep it kind of small and contained and see how it works and see what improvements need to go, need to happen before we roll it out at a larger scale.
Any questions about that?
If you go small, it might end up being too small. Anyone think about maybe putting like a chalkboard in the alley? Shop showing people, so at least it starts the conversation.
Go figure that NBC4 is doing it. They're the Rumpke station.
Yeah.
They've got the thing, is styrofoam recyclable? True, false, yes, no. Nobody else is doing that.
Reese and Natalie and Elizabeth, I added to our social media list the Okapi launch.
Great.
No, so we don't forget about it.
Great, thank you.
Where in Columbus will I do?
The other one will be in the like the Parsons Avenue Children's Hospital area. I can't remember the name of the shop off the top of my head, but it's in that area. No, it's not Panera. It's an independent shop.
Some, but maybe it's an idea. Like when this is first getting started, or like when the launch is happening, would there be some sort of like point system or reward system for customers? Because like working at cafes and coffee shops, like I work at multiple cafes, people are always prepared with what they need when it comes to like when they're getting something back. Right. So when they're getting their points, like one of the cafes that I work at, Parsons. So we just asked people really
You
to
work at Overcome?
so I work at Alchemy.
Okay.
Yeah. So we asked people to come with the same card so they remember to use the same card every single time we come in. So they'll get their points. Or like when I'm working at Starbucks, people will be like, wait, can you just get my app? Wait, please. Right. So I feel like maybe the points will motivate them. Like how companies constantly want them to download an app. People want them on their app, right?
Yeah. Is there not a point system of some kind?
Not that I'm familiar.
Okay.
Is that
That's
Alchemy
very
Kitchen?
valuable feedback.
And I work at the cafe, but
Cafe.
I also work at the diner right behind it too. So it's that little like office. It's right underneath the fitness loft. Irrigation. Really good. It's great books for options.
Any other questions on Reese's update? Okay, Grossmans, you have the floor.
I'll let you start. I'll let you start. First of all, I'll just start. I'll say one thing. We went to the SWACO conference, and Elizabeth was also there. And we feel like we've learned a lot. One thing before we get started, I was shocked. Were you shocked, Elizabeth, by how much you was doing?
Yes,
I was shocked.
They're flush with cash.
They're flush with cash. They're doing their environmental stuff.
So the ultimate was that it was an example of a food waste initiative in Vienna.
Yeah.
So there were maybe like 20 people there.
More was supposed to be there. Yeah, the thing that we really focused on was the sustainability initiative that we have. What's it called again? Universal Recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a presentation, three people. One was from what's the corporation? Yes. Yes. All the fancy
Kevin Mitchell.
And they're called, and the corporation is called
Bud Dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't take notes. The memory is not great. There was a consultant there present who was working for Dominique. You got the name.
Reese knows her too.
What?
Reese knows Dominique also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was a third person there who participates in it. It's a pizza place.
He
runs a pizza place in
Borgata or something like that.
Yes.
Yes.
See, you need to think this is a quiz show. He throws out questions.
I didn't take notes.
That's why you do food rescue at Bud Dairy.
Yeah. So just preface this by saying Joanne and I finished the survey that we were supposed to do, that we did. We finished that in October before we did all of our traveling. And we hit 32... restaurants. Most of them were small operations. We did do Giuseppe's, and we also, from the big to the small operation, gave them the questionnaire. One person filled it out as we were there, the Chinese restaurant on Livingston. Very excited. Everybody we submitted it to was enthusiastic about doing it. I have no idea what happened.
Sort of.
They were enthusiastic. Sort of. They were positive. Yeah. And most likely spoke to the manager. So that's out there. I don't know what we're doing with it, but it's there. What we learned, and it was primarily from the Cameron Mitchell's operation, is that they've been doing food waste recovery on non-processed food. Okay, they were just about to begin the next day going into used food. I don't have any, food
when
waste.
When you say non-processed, what do you mean?
Scraps. Leftover from cooking. Okay. Leftover, pre-cooking food. And they were doing that, and they were getting a good response. I think the Mitchell's person told us, it was a challenge for him to get the workers interested in this, they were enthusiastic about doing that thing. He was waiting to see what happens with the already used food and how they're going to collect it.
Post-consumer food, basically.
So off their plate when they bring.
Yes.
Okay.
So that had yet to begin. However,
so it's back. It's basically what Dominique would refer to as like back of house, that they're focusing on first. Yeah,
that's what they said.
Do you guys understand what we're just talking about?
Yeah.
No.
Food that has the food
before it crosses the counter in the kitchen is the first phase. Not after it's been you ate half of your hot dog and put it in the whatever.
The positive thing that I walked away with, that Dominique, and is also, step back for a second, there's a woman who has been very active in Worthington, Sarah Gallagher, has done a variety of things in Worthington, probably is doing as much, if not more, than we do here. We get better publicity out there. But she now works for SWACO. She recently started, very enthusiastic about that. And she's tied in to Dominique.
Yeah.
They basically were very positive about the ability for small shops as well as big shops to do food waste at a profit. Or at the very least, breaking even. It would not cost, because our concern, and most of the people we spoke with, was, gee, we're really interested in this, but it's expensive.
And they're small businesses.
And they're basically small businesses. Yeah.
We should get Dominique to come and join us at some point. You would love her. She's like a recent graduate of OSU. She won the entrepreneurship award. There's like a $50,000 award that the business school gives every year. She won it about 4 years ago when she graduated and started this consulting business. So what's interesting about engaging her with the restaurants, if we can figure out how to fund it, is she takes into consideration things like, now we know that to operationalize this food waste recovery back of house, you're either going to need to modify the way that you're operators handle things, or you're going to spend money here, but you're going to save money there. Like she's very operations empathetic.
He understands.
You know what I mean? Whereas a business owner could say, you're asking me to do this stuff. You're telling me I'm going to save money, but I have to pay an hourly person to do this extra thing, or I need to train this hourly person to do an extra thing. And it's more complicated typically than we imagine from standing outside the business.
So, but the thing is, I didn't know that it's a business, so we would have to pay her.
Yeah, she's a,
and
yeah.
We were thinking, the SWACO lady, she told me, she said, I can help you get money.
Yeah.
So we would let her help us get money. Because look, we don't know how these, not that easy to figure out how these restaurants should do this. And they're not, yes, they're sort of into it, but they're not.
Yeah,
they have to learn how to do it. So we're thinking SWACO could be our finance person, and she could maybe help us make this happen.
One of the businesses we went to was enthusiastic about it, but basically said, but I have no room for the food waste. Where am I going to store it?
Yeah.
And
it's all kinds of things like that. It's systems change, right? It's thinking totally differently about it.
Yeah.
So I do want to say something that I'm interested in exploring in 2025, because obviously the year is almost over. Here is a request for help with funding. It doesn't have to come to you, but it is a request, a thought, right? I also am meeting in the beginning of December with Upper Arlington, Worthington, Sarah, and Bexley to talk about the idea of post-consumer textile waste collection and piloting that. We also need potentially some help with funding for that. I'm wondering, I would like to ask if we could put into the budget, the Bexley budget, I'd love some help with grant writing or grant, in concert with the great work that you do to request money, not in conflict with, but in concert with. I don't have time or knowledge to do that. I don't think that's anybody's, special power who's in this committee. And I think it could be powerful if we could just get a little bit of help. There's probably people who are Bexley residents who we could pay to help do the grant finagling, right? Susan Breckelmans is one person who comes to mind, but I would like to make that request.
I hear your request. They are reading the budget for the third time right now. So I don't think we can sneak anything in there at this moment.
Okay. Is the social media request that I wrote in there?
What is
should I run in there right now?
Oh.
And I think, like, in theory, right, the mayor and the city would support these things because it's all part of our, you know, driving toward the zero waste plan. But I don't want to be out of, I don't know how to write a grant. I definitely want to do this textile collection thing, you know.
City, because they get all this back. They, you don't get money without writing a grant. They have to have people.
Yeah.
We have the co-director of the sustainability, OSU sustainability group living here. And we also have the food waste guru on the faculty who's here. I forget what his name is. And I mean, it's just amazing that we haven't brought them together to brainstorm.
He's like world renowned.
We're I think the only city which has universal recycling here, okay, in the state. And you know, we need to better, you know, this period to get them in the same room with Dominique and with Sarah. And I think we need to, I don't think we need to bring Sarah here, you know, or Dominique here for the whole group. We need to brainstorm with them to develop a plan of how to go out and get the folks. I mean, that's what
I totally get it. Elizabeth, can you put in the notes the budget deadlines for 2025, just so that we can all talk ahead of time, so that we're not for next year. So what's in the 36 the 26K delta there? It's exciting.
I think we could probably get one of their students.
This is okay. So this is in the development department, which was me. And I think that there is okay. So there is $15,000 proposed for the share between the land use strategy and the sustainability action plan. And then, so in total,
it's 40K, right?
About 40,000. Now, I'm not sure specifically if Megan has that broken down into other things. Mm-hmm. But I know that you had asked about social media.
Yeah, I saw it.
And some other programs that I might have, including, I think, but I'm not positive, that would also include $25,000 for the home energy.
That's what I saw there, yeah.
Is that what it says?
Yeah. So, you know, whether that all gets used for that or not, I understand it's a separate question. So there are questions out there, right? I think there are things we would like to do. We would like to maybe get a little bit of guidance because we're civilians, right, on how we might get money. So can you officially take that request from the this committee? This committee is asking of the city for some structural support and guidance in terms of grant provision in 2025 to potentially fund some of the things that we're passionate about. And I know that we're going to run out of time. We won't be able to talk about the 2025 things, you know, more than we did last month. That's one. I am making, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So that's for things passionate about in 2026.
Unfortunately, yes, it would be. Yes, correct. And then additionally, I am asking for the budget deadlines in 25 for 26, just so that we could know, and if we wanted to throw something else in, we know to do it in a non-disruptive way. You know what I mean?
Say end of August. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I'm thinking of what Steve was saying. The two Ohio State faculty people that are really important in this field. If it's not them helping us, you can't tell me that they don't know their best students that could help us write grants.
Yeah. Would you guys be willing to talk to them and see if they'd be willing to
for sure.
maybe have a, we could meet for coffee or they could come to the next meet, whatever, figure out how we can connect with them.
Talking about faculty people or talking about internet?
The faculty people.
Yeah.
The faculty people that you mentioned that we would.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I mean, these are like people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really smart. Let's at least see if they'd be interested in engaging with us. Okay.
We'll guilt them into it.
Now, OSU has a sustainability division office. I mean, I'm not sure really, you know, the title of it. Kate Barter is in charge of it, who I used to work with. And Elena, I'm not sure what Elena's last name is. I know she was a neighbor in South Bexley. And I know.
She's
something. They're high up. They're co-directors. The whole. Yeah, they are co-directors of OSU sustainability. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then there's the professor. I don't know his name. We'll get the. What was it? Ryan Rowe.
He's come before.
Has he come before us?
Did he sit where Ella's sitting when we reviewed the climate action plan a number of months ago? That wasn't him.
I was
interested
in being.
Of the what? Being a part of our. Okay. Okay, great.
Just on the composting, I heard that Kroger collects their food scraps. I don't know what they do with them there, but I mean, that's a lot of food scraps.
And Costco is doing there are containers out there now in Costco, and it's grown between recyclable stuff and trash. There's a third bucket for food waste, whether it's being contaminated by everybody throwing stuff in there and not understanding what to do, I don't know. But it is out there. There is out there. There's not as many, at least in our Costco in Easton, there's not as many buckets for food, buckets, totes, whatever it is, for food waste as there is for recycling and garbage.
Still.
But it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably should speak with them how they're doing that. That's another thing. Too many things to do.
Okay, I'd like to give an update if I could. So in Bexley, the project that I started 2 years ago has been responsible for 5.2 tons of landfill diversion of textiles. I've sorted in 2 years, 22, I had my anniversary, so I collect all the stuff at the state, 22,000 units in my garage. And so between resale, tracking the environmental impact of swap events, and then a huge amount of donation, targeted donation to organizations serving the local community, that's where most of the landfill diversion comes from. I have written a request to SWACO, and the same Sarah Gallagher that was mentioned earlier may help with a grant proposal. We're meeting on the 6th of December with each of the different municipalities about it, for the idea of collecting post-consumer textile waste that we know is not rewearable. So it's, in fact, the term is non-rewearable. So things that, like, so your polyester race participation shirt from some 5K that you walked in 10 years ago and it didn't mean anything to you, but they still gave you a t-shirt, right? So also this is a systems change thing. We want to experiment in this pilot with whether humans can do some of that self-sorting, right? Rather than aggregating it all and either throwing it away or handing it off to the Goodwill, where that likely gets landfilled and, likely gets baled and exported and then landfilled or incinerated in country. So the pilot is interesting. And I'm also meeting pretty frequently with the CEO of Goodwill Columbus and with our head of marketing yesterday, because if that idea of humans doing some of that self-sorting is a thing, then they might be willing to pilot having those same bins. Like, so where you go up to the Goodwill and you're going to drop off your stuff, people who know that their stuff actually needs to be made into insulation or whatever, whatever, they maybe can also separate it just like this municipal pilot could be. So I just wanted to share, I'm kind of excited about it because while obviously the goal is not to produce stuff that people don't only wear seven times and then discard, the impact at scale could be significant if you consider that post-consumer textile waste is a huge issue when it's exported because most of it is fossil fuel based, and that there are viable solutions here. The last thing that I'm saying to you guys, because I would love to get a student on this project and you might have more success than I would, there is a company called Advanced Drainage Systems that is the largest plastic recycler in the country. They happen to be located in Ohio.
Yeah,
and
270.
And at the middle, at the MORPC conference, I asked the guy who presented if they would consider trying to address synthetic textile waste in addition to all the other plastic recycling that they do. And so they said they were interested. I've tried to reach the guy twice on LinkedIn and he hasn't responded. So I may have to go in person with a sandwich board and tell them that they have to pay attention. But that could be a really great project for somebody in a high school to help to chase down.
So what is your idea for like?
Yeah, the idea would be that the high schooler potentially drafts the project and thinks about ways that we could track the impact and also helps to think about ways that we could collect and aggregate in partnership with companies like Squico or Rumpke or AD, Advanced Drainage Systems, that waste, and then process it into PET flake or what have you that could then be made into, you know, drainage pipes instead of ending up in a...
So you're saying...
So I can tell you in more detail about like the how I'd imagine the project, but I think this could be a really interesting student research something.
So you might ask if anyone is interested in the club and then
yes.
Shout to you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also talking about it with Laura Moore tomorrow. I love it. So this could be a big deal.
So you're saying that like we could take our certain items to Goodwill that can be recycled, not recycled, reused.
Maybe it's plastic, maybe recycled.
In a bucket, because I understand Goodwill ships a lot of stuff just off to who knows where.
It's not their fault, but yes, they do.
I know.
100%.
Okay. To, and put it in this bucket, and then you can get it, and it goes to an appropriate place where it's made into something else.
Yeah.
But you have to know what the goods are.
That's the pilot, is to see, are humans able to do that work? It's the same stuff we're talking about at like, you know, yeah. So that's the question. So there's a whole theme of systems change here. Like it would be nice if the system change were not downstream, right? Which is what a lot of what we're talking about is. So the idea of using utensils at an event instead of using waste, that's kind of an upstream systems change thing. What we're talking about here is it's a little downstream, but there's still so much waste that that systems change is valid and like is, you know, there's a compelling reason to at least deep dive to see if it's possible.
Is that with waste management, the Goodwill thing? I think I sent you that recently. We had thought it was Walmart, but I think it's waste management.
In Columbus, it's probably Sweco. Oh, waste management. Oh. I'm not sure. I have to look back at the communication.
Speaking of Sweco, though, is that program called the Central Ohio Textile Fashion Waste Initiative?
Are you thinking of what the Mive sisters did with Columbus?
It's right on the homepage of Sweco.
I don't know. I know Sweco's not actually doing anything yet. So when I look with Sheila at all the stuff they were doing before she interviewed me, she was like, ooh, we need to take the stuff off the website because it doesn't exist. So I don't know. I don't know what that is, but I can find out. That's it. The problem is it can't get wet. If it gets wet and moldy, it's really not, I don't even know that it's usable as insulation or what have you. So it, you could.
In the schools, in the city hall.
Yep.
In the churches.
She has one in the library here.
Yeah, but that's for, yeah. For,
label. You know,
this would be waste, actual waste, right?
You can picture it.
Yeah.
But
I think See, I think this is something that should be part of a semi-annual. The patient's on the table. We have a repair cafe. We have, you know, unfortunately, we're going to be out of time to talk about it today, but patients on the table. We have a repair cafe. We have a, you know, textile waste collection. We have, I don't know what all the other things are that we could do as a community. And maybe it's, you know, maybe people can hold on to some things. Textile waste is not hazardous, right? Until this event, you know, the trick is how you aggregate it. So there's a lot to be learned here. Yeah. But it's all the same thematic stuff.
Big plastic collections that in how many companies major.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't want to do it.
Right. Right. That's the idea.
Okay.
Okay. What do we want to cover next? Are there any subcommittee updates other than what we've already covered? I think we may have kind of gotten to all of them. Why don't we, I'll pause. Any subcommittee updates that we haven't covered? Okay. Any community stakeholder updates? It is, you have no obligation to provide an update, but if you have one, we would love to hear it. Does St. Charles have an update of any kind? Mike, is there any, I didn't mean to put you on the spot first. Is there anything you'd like to share?
So one of the questions that I wanted to throw out to the group is there's some more interest in possibly doing an energy audit. And I'm not sure if anyone has, you know, good resources that they've used before in doing that in institutions like a school.
Are you thinking like through the entire campus?
Correct.
Yeah, I was looking at the Ohio Department of Development website today, and they are putting together a program for homeowners and families, but they might also have programs available for schools, so I would encourage you to reach out to them.
Ohio Department of Development?
Yeah.
SWACO has a staff person, at least one staff person. For
to do energy audits?
No, I'm thinking of who works with the schools.
Yeah, but I think that's, I don't think that's for no. energy.
That's right.
I think that's like going into classrooms and like teaching. And with more so waste, like physical solid waste, as opposed to energy. That was my recommendation for you.
Yes, got it. Thanks. And I've mentioned this before, but just on the earlier conversation, St. Charles has for the past 2 years had silverware in our cafeteria. And so, again, I don't work as closely with the cafeteria, the janitorial staff, and all the ins and outs, you know, of like what a Bexley High School, like they might push back on. But we'd welcome, hey, if someone wants to come to St. Charles and talk to these people that work in the cafeteria that, you know, can tell you, here's how many hours it takes, you know, extra, what, you know, that type of thing.
I remember Midge had shared that too, that St. Charles does it.
Correct.
The food is catered though, is that correct? So is it on plates or is it like you're getting Chipotle bowls? And it's already kind of self-contained that way.
So it is, some of it is brought in by Berwick. Some of it is made on site. A lot of the sort of what it's served in is disposable. So right now it's the silverware that's the main thing that's washed.
Got it. Thank you.
And I just
have
a quick question. Are the plates biodegradable that they use? Do they use biodegradable dishes?
No.
Okay, I was just curious. So something we learned, we were in Boston and New Hampshire for a week. Almost every restaurant you go to, they use if you take food home, it's all biodegradable. So how did they start?
The packaging? The packaging?
It's all biodegradable. You don't see any of this plastic stuff.
That you need city laws for.
You do, yeah.
For a community-wide thing like that, yeah, yeah. There's policy involved.
Democrat states.
Does Capital have any kind of an update they'd like to share?
Yeah. So right now, this is kind of just my personal thought and pause, and I'm trying to get students to be. So I'm trying to improve all of our community gardens right now and boost student engagement, especially in, well, we have our rain garden, we have our habitat, and then we have like our main community garden that has only been used by, you know, Sophia Wilson. She is—
I know her, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So Sophia Wilson and her partner are the only people that use it, right? And it's for the student body. It's for the student body. Nobody uses it. Nobody really knows about it. Nobody really wants to use it. And when I spoke to Sophia, she said that all of the plots just need redone. So I have a lot to work on soon because I want to get that up and running for the spring semester. And I want to advertise that for, you know, maybe students in the area that can easily commute over there, students that are living on campus over the summer. And I also wanted to ask if any of you knew how, like, I could get maybe a rain barrel, because we need a new rain barrel from the city.
We had some earlier, right? This summer, the rain barrel program.
There's a program that you can get a rebate, like a $50 rebate for a rain barrel through Franklin Soil and Water Conservation District. We have been in a class for that, and then you get this rebate. But that is not until spring. But I'm wondering if you move on to Franklin Soil and Water and promote the program, and maybe have an actual round.
Do we have a contact for Franklin Soil and Water that we could scare up the person to speak?
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of ideas that I have. Everything, I need to organize my ideas, and I'm looking at kind of our main things right now, which is just rebuilding the garden completely because it's apparently a mess. So I have that, and then I want to put gazebos around campus just so students are more encouraged to be around our greenery, because we do have a lot of really green spaces on campus yep. that nobody engages with. I'm there sometimes, no yep. one else is. And so even like our edible garden, no one uses. Sometimes I go in between classes and I'll like, well, closer to the summer, I would get like a pawpaw, right? And it was really nice. I love pawpaws. And so, that's or awesome. I'd get some cherry tomatoes or some grapes, because we have all that. Strawberries during the summer. It's really fun and it's really amazing. I would get some chives and some mint and some sage for when I was picking at home and nobody else does. And I think it's just something really cool that needs to like take advantage of, because it's so great just be able to, you know, like when I was working in the facilities office, I kind of want strawberry, I go get strawberry. Like, that's so fun. I love it.
I love it.
Do that, and no one else really does.
So I have a question. I don't know who to ask this question of. Within Bexley, am I wrong in thinking that there is just a plethora of retired people that love gardening?
No.
I'm wrong?
No.
I'm not wrong. Excellent. I'm wondering, thanks, we have that going for us. That may be the only good thing that's happened to me today, is I have that going for me. I'm kidding. I wonder, would there be any value in syncing up some of these people with maybe some of the students at and around Capital that might have interest in doing something but might need a little bit of a sense of community and maybe guidance?
So we definitely need help people in the gardens. I think this week we need a groundskeeper.
Yeah.
So I
would it be Susan? Sorry to interrupt. I'm trying to think how I could who we could
what do you so
we need to do the dream. I just kind of want to get the word out there, and I was thinking I could do certain time slots where me and our groundskeeper take a group of students that are interested in, and we get some baby starter plants and we all put them together, and then we talk about how to plan, something to do, and how often we should come see them, and hope that they keep up with us. So that's the idea that I have right now. There are definitely some other things that I want to do. Like Sophia said, it would be a good idea to start with maybe putting some hammocks in the camp, like in the gardens, so people are just
drawn to it. Yeah.
Because and our community garden is, I will say, it's in a weird place. It looks like it's just somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is there's a group of people who work at Jeffrey Mansion, volunteer at Jeffrey Mansion for the summer to help maintain grounds. They're called the Bexley Bloomers.
That's right.
And then there is also the Bexley Community Garden Leadership Community Committee, I guess, who manage the two City of Bexley Community Gardens.
You know, the Harrimans used to be very active. In those both gardens. I don't think they're doing that anymore. Last time we spoke with them was probably more than a year ago. But they were great. I mean, they're master gardeners. I think that one or both of them are master gardeners.
Yeah, they really helped.
Yeah.
See, I think that whether we could give you the manpower to do all this stuff is maybe a separate question, but I feel like there's great wisdom. Right, that could.
I want it to be some, like a long term thing.
Yeah.
Since I'm on our student government, and we did this QC. I was a expert. Seeing in conversations thing where we got like student input on things that could be improved on campus, and one of the big things was green spaces. There are so many green spaces, guys. Mm-hmm. There's so many, but there's just, I guess, there's not many places to sit. There's not a lot of shade, or there's not a lot of study space, which I completely understand. I would love to put over there.
Okay, I've done my best, by the way, to update the mural as we've been talking, and I'll sit and reflect on what. So let's assume we don't need to go through that exercise visually, that we'll just kind of apply the notes to that document. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'll send you a PDF. Basically, if you know mural or Miro. So just all the thinking about, I'll send it to you with
digital post-it notes, what that is.
Yeah.
No, one more thing. Does your school have anybody? I feel like there used to be a greenhouse. There is a greenhouse, but that's another thing that ever since I
is your sophomore? Sophomore?
I'm a third year.
Or third year, right.
It's been closed all years. There are people in there that do things for class and stuff, but nothing else. And I know, like, during my tour, at least, my tour was full. It was like, please, place you can sit and study and be your greenery. I've never been there. Okay?
That's terrible.
So, yeah, a lot of people complain about that. And I know that people are interested in the green spaces on campus because so many people want to get in there.
Yes.
So many people love to get in there. And then there are places right across the street where they could get a similar experience. But I guess
right,
they just need to be fixed up a little bit.
Okay, so I've added, just for what it's worth, it, under our outdoor spaces pillar, I've just added Capital University Recovery of Community Gardens as a thing. And we can just think about if there's bandwidth to support that in some way.
But near the suites, like the big suites that's right across Shaw, that's how I get around the dorm buildings. So I think that is, there's a rain garden there. And then the community garden, I think that's Sheridan. I think that's Sheridan. I don't remember. It's in between one of our houses. I don't remember the house. Oh, it's near the houses, not on the campus. Yeah, so it's closer to Trinity.
All right, so
the College Avenue Hall, near the parking lot on the other side, and there is a rain garden, like closer to the back of that hall.
Okay.
I think we're
Is it?
I don't think it's that. It's closer to like that bunch of trees.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a rain garden right there. And it looks really pretty during the summer. There's not much going on right now. But where Trinity is, which is.
Going north on Sheridan.
Yeah.
Right across Mound. Is it in that strip between the parking lot and Sheridan?
Pretty sure. And then along the parking lot, right there, where there's that just like line of trees, that's our edible part.
Okay. I didn't know that existed.
All right, so that's a great one. We can see if there's synergy among the people that Elizabeth will connect you with to help. I bet that there is. That could be fun. All right, we're just about at the end here. So I'm looking at the mural that we had worked on last month. One question I have for Bexley High School is, generally speaking, we've talked about having a partnership with the Bexley High School Environmental Club. The question I'm interested in exploring, and we don't need to answer this today, are there, from the things that we're talking about, which are like real potentially impact society initiatives, trackable, you know, measurable, et cetera, are there ways in which the Bexley Environmental, the High School Environmental Club would like to be involved with some of the stuff that's kind of outward facing? Is it worth asking the question, or do you feel maybe next month we could just dig in a little bit more to what does partnership with the club look like to all of you? How do we make you feel successful about the time you spent here? You know, are there opportunities we could offer? Do you just want to learn and take back to the environmental club what you learned? Just, we're here to, you're our future. So we're here to support you. And again, I want to say, to me, the things that are focused on systems change, I think those are things that are great too. I know you already have applied to college, but I think those are the kinds of projects that are really, you know, interesting in an essay. They have they're big. They're meaty, and they have a significant impact on the future. So just throwing that out there.
I think the, let's say the best thing we have to do is like an hour.
Okay. That's fair.
That sort of depends on, like, I guess, the appeal of the task.
Yeah.
I know we probably have like a couple people that might be interested in like a more intensive, like, I don't know, leadership oriented organizational sort of role. I think, I don't know, because I'm not even going to be able to make it more than three of us, but those are like our most.
And that's fine. There's zero pressure. Yeah. Just wanted to say we're here to, And honestly, the question may end up being more for Luke, only because he has, you know, with your, obviously with your input and thoughts and advice. Okay. With that, does anybody have anything else to add? I feel like this was a super exciting meeting. I feel like I had a plant-based steak dinner.
What's the next one?
This December.
Thursday.
17. Okay. I'm going to bike home in the dark.
What was that? What was the woman's name? You said she got hired there recently.
Sarah Gallagher.
Sarah Gallagher.
Bye-bye.
Live charity. See you.